Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour, looking to the past and enjoying some gems.
Ooh, a lot of them. Good times. We're barreling our way through the 90s.
Yeah.
And coming up with just amazing picture shows that were on a little screen that had a tube projection system behind it.
Back in the day, coming home from school and enjoying these animated shows, or having that Saturday where you didn't have to do anything. Although by this time, by the 1996, which we're in for our history of comics and television, I was already in college, so not quite the same thing.
It's probably I guess it depends. It's probably either or some basketball thing going on, some baseball thing going on. Probably not football. Football was on Friday nights, although we did do practice. They made us practice the next morning, and we would part of our practice was we would run through town for like miles. We do a big lap. Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Great Saturday morning after a football game. It's good stuff.
Well, for better memories, we're going to, of course, like I was just saying, we're going to go over some of the history of comics and television. We've gotten all the way up till 1996 now. We have several different shows that were based on comic strips or comic books. We're trying to keep things, as always, into things that are based on comics from the United States. But anything that was on TV counts, and this is also where we kind of paste in any of those films that were either animated or kind of were in a vague gray area that we didn't catch on our initial run in our history of comic books and film. None of those this time, but I'm sure we'll run into a few more as we go. So we're going to start with the animated side. I've divided that into two sections: shows that are animated based on the comics and shows that are live action based on the comics. Right?
Nice.
Easy enough.
And don't forget, when we do these, we throw in the occasional one that you like to cheat and skirt the rules on.
I don't know what you mean. I would never take the rules, these ironclad, these sacred rules that we created on a whim for no reason other than to have something. Yes, occasionally we will just put something in that we like. All right, let's start with...
Nothing this year, though.
No, nothing in 1996. This is pretty easy. And in fact, the first animated television show that we're going to talk about is based on a property we've already covered many times. It had actually multiple films that were based on it. So when we were doing our coverage of the film specifically, we covered it. And I think we may have already covered it in the TV as well. We're going to talk about the Flash Gordon animated series that came out in 1996. Now, just as a reminder, Flash Gordon was a comic strip that came out in 1934, created by Don Moore and Alex Raymond. It's just kind of space adventures, so kind of a fun little thing. And it, you know, no real big powers, but it's just like, what if there were spies in space? You know, kind of thing. A little bit of science, a little bit of romance, a little bit of action, a little bit of everything. And this particular show lasted a single season, so it did not catch on.
I don't recall seeing anything about it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was produced by Lacewood Productions and Dupuis Audiovisual, which means that it was kind of, even though it was released in the United States, it was, you know, kind of made in France and Canada. And I don't even remember what channel this would have been released in. And if I had more time to research, I might have looked into it. But I didn't, so I didn't.
Well, who knows if it even made it onto, Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS PBS even. I don't remember seeing this at all.
Yeah, it seems like it was intended for something, but didn't really quite get there. If you look at the names of those that were involved with this particular production, there are a few highlightable names, but one thing that kind of struck out to me is whoever put this particular list together, instead of putting the names in list of like importance, like the lead characters at the beginning, I think decided to go with, I don't know, just randomness, because you don't see Flash Gordon, who's in every episode, until like halfway down the list. But yeah, it's just one of those things. But you know, you see a few, like Lexa Doig is in there. I don't know if you're familiar with Miss Lexa Doig, but she's been a staple of some fun sci-fi goodness over the years. She's in the show Andromeda, which I happen to like quite a bit. She played the sentient computer, basically, that ran the ship, and also was a android at the same time. You got Paul Schaefer taking time from his late night duties to do some voicing by Dr. Hans Zarkov.
Yeah, the Lexa, she was, oh gosh, was she in a Friday the 13th movie?
I believe so.
It was the one where they were in space, I think.
Oh, right. Yes. Jason X.
Jason X, Jason 10, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yep,
that's where I remember seeing her from.
Yeah, so that was the only name that really made me go, wow, yeah. I mean, other names of some people that, you know, you might recognize are in there, but none of them are like big names. And so it's just kind of, if you look at the art style, the panels that you can catch, it did not look terribly impressive. So I'm not too surprised this didn't go very far.
It was on Channel 4.
Channel 4. That may be why I didn't.
Or YTV. So I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, YTV. Yeah, I remember that briefly. Yeah. So I didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it.
Nope.
If you think it might be interesting, you tell us what happens. But let's go on to something that maybe had a little bit better fare. I'm just kidding. I'm actually going to go backwards. I had moved these around. This was Flash Gordon was actually going to be the second one I brought up. There was actually another show that fared worse than Flash Gordon in 1996. Ooh. This particular comic strip. This particular show is based on a character that we've talked about a million times. He's had so many shows over the years. And, you know, I think this is the point at which maybe the producers of these shows started to realize that maybe, just maybe, the character had run its course and they had to go somewhere else. This was a little boy that just happened to have a lot of money and his adventures with his money.
Richie Rich.
Six episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the thing that makes me sad is you got a couple of nice voices in there. Rene Auberjonois, who I love to death as Chef Pierre, and you got Pat Fraley as the dog, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, it's just kind of meh. So I have a funny feeling that this just couldn't go very far. Richie Rich in the comics first appeared in Little Dot in 1953. I believe he actually appeared in the comic strip universe a little sooner than that. Let's see, Richie Rich. I've got all my notes. No, it's still 1953. I was right. So, a character that I never really cared about. and I I can't even find any stills for these six episodes.
Well, we will see a, you know, if we keep up with this and we keep going, apparently there was another run of it, live action made in 2015.
Oh, that'll be good. There's no way.
Yeah, it lasted to be a season. So,
oh man. Well, let's get to some shows that actually had some success. And in fact, let's start with one based on a property we've never talked about before. There was a comic book that came out in 1982. Or more specifically, it's kind of a strip that was in a book, but then got its own book, sort of a thing. You know, you could buy those compilations that had a bunch of different stories in them, but weren't anything. The one this particular one appeared in was called Robbie Does. It's a story about a kid that is cruel to animals, so it's turned into a cat. And the story is called Billy the Cat. So it's just kind of different, created by Steven Desberg and Stephane Coleman. I never watched this show, and the animation style looks like it's meant for little kids, from what I can tell. And just looking at the names that are involved with this, this is another one where I go, I don't recognize any of these people. But it still managed to last two seasons.
52 episodes. Okay.
Right?
Somebody must have been watching it.
But of all the stuff that they put in there, whoever put the list together only found like, must have only found like a single episode to get some of the names from, because you'll notice all the names only have one episode next to them. So I'm kind of curious. There seems to be some incomplete information here, and I couldn't really dig up anything more. And that was combined with the fact that I just, again, didn't care too much to do so.
Well, the poster that they have posted on here is in French.
Right.
So maybe it, I don't know, maybe it never really aired. Maybe it was
maybe it never aired in the United States.
Look at you, rule breaker.
Yeah, it was released in France. So it made it over. I know it made it over to the United States because I did enough. See, here's the fun thing about this particular thing that we're doing right now. My initial research for this whole just delving into TV and film, I did this 6 years ago. So I'm digging up some of these things that I haven't touched in years. But I know that at least appeared at some point in the United States. But it must not have been big in the United States. Maybe it's one of those things where it lasted for three seasons in France. They aired it for one episode in the United States, and all the kids go, nah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well,
they had to put effort into do the voice dubbing into English.
Right. So that's got to be what it was. This was the one episode that they dubbed, and it just didn't catch on. Good stuff. We're just going to bypass that one. So there seems to be a running kind of thing on several of these. We're going to go to another show that lasted two seasons in 1996. It's another little kid that we've talked about a million times. Let's see if you can guess who this might be, Richard.
Dennis the Menace.
It is Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Now, this one is interesting. I want you to pull this one up yourself. This particular series is called Dennis the Menace and Nasher. The art style is different.
Dennis the Now is I'm guessing Masher is the is it a dog maybe?
Yes, Nasher is the dog. At least I'm hoping that's a dog, because if that's a rat, that's a frightening rat. But the original strip came out in 1951, created by Hank Ketchum, about this just rapscallion of a kid just trying to be himself in his neighborhood and getting on the nerves of his neighbors.
Maybe the Beano's Dennis the Menace and Nasher Show. Mm-mm-mm. Is that what that is?
It should just be Dennis the Menace and Nasher. If you really want to find it in IMDb, the way I had to find it, because the title was different depending upon where you watched it. In IMDb, you look it up by looking for Dennis the Menace and just put in 1996.
Mm.
This is a trick that I've used on a lot of these shows because they have just slight variations in their names. So in order to really find them, putting that year in is key. But Dennis and his faithful pet companion, Nasher, get up to mischief and mayhem, embarking on a fair few adventures along the way.
Yeah, I wonder what this one was on.
That is an excellent question. But it was released in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that looks very, like, the art style looks something like you wouldn't see here in the U.S. for sure. At least in that time period.
Yeah, I gotta be truthful with you. I threw this one in just to mess with you. This is my way of having fun. You're talking about breaking the rules. I broke the rules this time just to show you an interesting thing. So we were talking about Dennis the Menace. When I was doing my initial research, I go, this Dennis the Menace does not look like any Dennis the Menace that I know of. Well, did you know that in 1951, somebody by the name of David Law created a comic strip in England by the name of Dennis the Menace?
So just did another one.
It has nothing to do with the other Dennis the Menace. They just have the same name.
Well, it does rhyme.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, it's really kind of, and so yeah, the Beano is right. You actually found it faster than I really wanted you to.
Dang, but this one had it had Hugh Laurie in it,
right?
Billy Connolly, Greg Proops. Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, this one actually had some talent, and I would love to see. I must admit, I never read the Dennis the Menace UK comic. It looks a little angrier. than our Dennis the Menace. It's like, oh, I'm sorry I set fire to your shed, Mr. So-and-so. That's our Dennis the Menace. And the other Dennis the Menace is kicking somebody while they're down, taking their wallet or something. That's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah, it doesn't look like this one looks like he grew up a little bit and became more of a, you know, a rowdy teenager, let's call it.
Right.
Preteen.
So I'm kind of curious. I'm going to have to take a look into that at some point. Let's get out of this weird grass off into the weirdness that has all these things that we're never going to watch and don't really care about, but still want to comment on because they're important. We're going to get to the main meat, some good stuff. This particular next show also lasted two seasons. It features a character that we're all very familiar with that teaches us that the best way to deal with your problems is to just get really mad and hit it as hard as you can. And maybe turn green at the same time.
Hulk?
That it is. Incredible Hulk. Came out in 1996. Believe it or not, the Hulk's voiced by Lou Ferrigno in this version.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to some of these runs on the Hulk over the years, they feel like that this is a very, very popular character and could do good things, but they can never just find a way for it to stick, you know? It's like they can't quite get the character to be presented how it should be that makes people want to continue to watch it.
Well, if anyone could do it, this voice cast, good Lord. Neil McDonough as Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
John Vernon as General Ross.
Well, you know, you got Mark Hamill, who's really kind of, everybody knows who Mark Hamill is, but no one really knows that Mark Hamill is like an elite tier voice actor. And he's right kind of picking up steam in the 90s here, just doing all types of crazy stuff.
Right. Luke Perry is Rick Jones. Matthew Frewer as the leader. I love Matt Frewer.
He would be a good voice for the leader.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Every name is like somebody that you would know on this particular show. This has maybe the most crazy casting for voice acting.
Kathy Ireland.
Right?
Richard Mall. As the Abomination. Okay. Yep. Okay.
It's just.
Oh, dang. Look at this. John Rhys-Davies as Thor. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Oh, our favorite, Clancy Brown, Sasquatch.
Yeah. They just, literally, it's just like knocking it out of the park with one voice after another. It's just crazy.
Did they pull the same voices over from the Iron Man show? Was this like, did they have a carryover in this?
I think so, because you got Dorian Harewood as Jim Rhodes. That's the same voice.
That's what I was seeing.
Yeah. So I bet there's at least some carryover, if not everything. But, just crazy, crazy. Awesome. I saw like one episode of this. Like, oh, this is fun. And then I've forgotten about it for years. But now I kind of want to go back. It's only two seasons. I could just plow through this show like nothing. Of course, for those wanting to remember, The Incredible Hulk. It's Hulk. It's The Incredible Hulk was created in May 1962. And we've talked about that before. One of those other Kirby and Stan Lee combos right there. But,
Yeah. Seems like it'd be pretty solid. I guess just the kids in the 90s weren't ready for an Incredible Hulk cartoon.
Guess not. So if Marvel can't do it, maybe DC can. 1996 had Superman, the animated series. Lasted
very good show.
Three seasons. I mean, we've talked a little bit about this one before just because it's that good. Of course, Superman, Action Comics, number one, 1938. Schuster and Siegel and Bob Kane, creators. But you talk about Clancy Brown. Clancy Brown is that Lex Luthor voice, and that is just key to this particular series being awesome back in the day. But you got a lot of other very, very identifiable voices, like Dana Delaney as Lois Lane. I mean, you know,
I always liked Tim Daly doing the Superman voice.
Oh yeah, he was great. I always liked George Zunza. I can never say his name. He was in a bunch of shows over the years as just bit characters. As soon as you see his face, you go, "Oh yeah, that guy."
Very recognizable. Yeah, if you look up that face, he was an inspector. He was like the second in command on Crimson Tide, right? Or not second in command, but like the officer, the person like Cobb, arrest this man, you know?
Exactly.
That he was Cobb. He was the person that was It's like, supposed to take people and put them away.
You want me to do what now?
Yeah.
But, you got that. You got Lisa Edelstein as Mercy, which you might know her from the series House. It's maybe her biggest thing that she was in. Brad Garrett doing voices.
As the main man.
Michael Ironside. Jeez, oh, Pete. Just Frank Welker, of course, and Malcolm McDowell. And just a ridiculous cast. And the show was just kind of nice. It's still got that clean, artistic style that we always like with our Superman stuff. It's maybe not as straight edge as like the Batman series was, but still really good.
I feel like in my brain parts, a lot of the characters that I like envision, it's these voices.
Right.
Right. So the Lobo character, we talked about Brad Garrett. The Dark Side voice, which is Michael Ironside.
Kalibak is Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn, what's absolutely. Malcolm McDowell was Metallo, and he was that voice in a lot of other shows too. Kevin Conroy showed up, of course, because Batman had to show up at least a little bit in here.
Yep.
So all of these, I feel like all of these voices, maybe because that's what we quote grew up. We were grown up, kind of, yes.
But still.
That's what we grew up with.
Early-ish, right. And, of course, Ed Asner is Granny Goodness.
100%.
Yeah, that's.
And Mark Hamill's Joker.
Yeah, just name after name. And the stories were always just good. They were always solid in this one. I don't think I watched an episode of the show that I didn't enjoy. This is why I tried to find a way to watch, even if my schedule didn't always permit the watching of cartoons in college. This one lasted 3 seasons and probably deserved to go longer. That one's understandable why it lasted as long as it did. The next one that lasted four seasons, I have no idea why it lasted as long as it did. It is yet another iteration of another comic character that we've talked about a million times that always manages to get a television show. It's Casper the Friendly Ghost, specifically The Spooktacular New Adventures of Casper. Casper being created in 1949. Never watched this show.
The Spooktacular one.
Because, again, I could not have cared less about Casper. But it's got a good cast. Dan Castellaneta, he's always good. Of course, Brad Garrett is Fatso, which makes sense. Dorian Harewood, again, showing up. Frank Welker. We seem to be saying similar names over and over again. It's almost like the same people get the jobs for all of these voice things over and over and over again.
Oh my gosh, Billy West, that's funny.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill.
What? No. They wouldn't possibly use him in this show.
This voice acting cast is like the who's who of voices that you've heard in shows.
Fred Ward.
All the time. Pretty funny. I'm sure if you were a young pup that this show was great.
Probably.
It lasted enough that they kept making episodes of it, but with a cast like what they have on here, it had to at least been decent, but it's right. Nothing I would have watched, unfortunately.
I love Edie McClurg. She was only in one episode. But she makes me laugh always. Good stuff. All right. So that is every animated show that started in 1996 based on a comic strip or a comic book with some fudging here and there. I said that we wouldn't have any. I lied.
So sneaky.
Well, what am I going to do? That's the only way to you can't sneak it in without doing that. I had to. So the next one we're going to talk about is just going to be a kind of an honorable mention. We've talked about Tales from the Crypt multiple times. You know, they had the television shows that were based on it and the movies that were also kind of based on it. The interesting thing, though, in 1996, they came out with a game show inspired by Tales from the Crypt called Secrets of the Crypt Keeper's Haunted House. Kids take on physical challenges in the first game show to implement live-action virtual sets. Kids compete for prizes in a virtual CGI world, taking turns overcoming perils created by the popular Crypt Keeper, like dodging fireballs.
And this was a game show.
It was a game show. It lasted 2 seasons.
I mean, it's cool.
sort of. Great. That's why I said it was an honorable mention. It's just kind of, that was when I was researching, I remember that was one of the oddest things that I had found. It's like, we can't not at least mention this. But
well, the Tales from the Crypt TV show, it's not like it wasn't, it was still fresh in people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then, what was it? The Demon Knight, Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, there are tons of Tales from the Crypt shows, or movies, I should say. There are like 6 of them.
Yeah. But, when was that one? Tales from the Crypt. Demon Knight. Yes, 1995. Okay, see, that makes sense. Because that movie was pretty popular in a certain sense.
Right.
And the soundtrack from it was actually, I felt, pretty popular too. So riding the coats of popularity from some of those Tales from the Crypt.
Well, and
shows,
90,
movies.
96, Bordello of Blood came out.
Oh, yes, that's true. That makes sense. Good old Dennis Miller.
Yeah. Back before he kind of, well, you know. Maybe we'll call it he lost a step. That'll be the nice way to put it. Okay, don't we all, though, lose a step eventually? I feel like I've lost a couple
eventually.
So the last one we're going to talk about today is an interesting thing in 1996. We'll see if you can figure this one out, because it actually gets 2 entries in 1996. This is live action. It got its own TV movie in 1996, followed by a television show, which lasted not 1 season, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, but 7 seasons. Can you guess which one it is?
And it's based, was it like a common property?
Oh yeah, it's a very well-known property.
Lasted that many seasons. You say it got a live action show? I mean, it got a movie.
It got a TV movie and then got a show for 7 seasons.
Dang. Okay, what do you know what station it was on?
I would say, I think at TNT, if I had to remember correctly.
TNT. I wouldn't have. Pardon me. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to watch that. I wish that the awesome ones like Xena or Hercules were based on comics.
Well, how about this? I'll give you another hint. This character did not originate in their own, as a comic book character, did not originate in their own comic. They actually originated in someone else's comic that had at least one other major spinoff that got its own film series.
It's too much information. I don't know.
We are talking about Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yep. Sabrina Spellman first appeared in Archie's Madhouse in 1962 and has been kind of out and about since. But Josie and the Pussycats was what I was talking about film-wise. Josie and the Pussycats is also the Archie universe.
That's true. Okay.
So the movie came out, like I said, 1996. It's a cast that has somebody in it you may not expect. You, of course, have Melissa Joan Hart, who plays Sabrina throughout the entire series. But there is a rather handsome raconteur playing the character named Seth in this series, a Mr. Ryan Reynolds in the movie.
Strapping young gentleman coming to his own in the acting world.
Yeah, and it's kind of the thing that really gets you is this is kind of like the trial to see if this thing was going to work. And not everybody got to keep their roles. So they of course, stuck with Melissa Joan Hart for Sabrina. But Aunt Hilda, who is Shelley Miller in the movie, becomes Carolyn Ray in the television series.
That's true.
And Charlene Furnetz is Aunt Zelda in the movie, but it's Beth Broderick in the show.
You're right. That show was pretty popular for quite some time, and I felt like they've had other iterations of that show and other things later on stemming from this show. Am I wrong on
there,
that?
Like, there were other TV movies to follow that were based off of this. Now, Sabrina had a new Netflix adaptation that came out a number of years ago, but that's because Riverdale was a thing and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so kind of interesting because you go into the show. You got Soleil Moon Frye had a recurring character that was in about half of the episodes. You had Martin Mull playing the principal for about 73 episodes. They had a lot of little guest appearances that were fun throughout the years. It's another of those shows that a lot of people just managed to find their way into the show as a one-off every once in a while.
I saw that. I saw George Wendt pop up on here, Penn Jillette, Donald Faison. I'm seeing some of these names on here. I was like, dang, okay. Like this was the one to kind of pop your face into from time to time. That's pretty cool.
And it's kind of funny because the original source material, I was never a big fan of Archie and their comics. It never really resonated with me. But the idea of the witch having just happened to be in normal 1950s America and show up, I thought that was an interesting idea. The really bad animatronics on the talking cat or the bad CGI when they did CGI for the cat was actually really fun for the show. It just made it better because it was bad.
You had to keep the budget in line, you know?
Yeah, well, sure. But it was actually a really fun show. And you got to give a lot of props to the writers for keeping it interesting. You got to give a lot of props to Melissa Joan Hart to be, the lead that could carry it. But really, I always felt that it was Carolyn Ray that really carried that series, because she was just impossible not to like. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty solid in everything that she shows up in.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean that's kind of what it was. It lasted for 7 seasons, which is really, really hard to believe. And we're definitely going to talk about this more as the episodes roll by, because like I said, there's going to be some more TV movies that are going to come across. There wasn't just the one. But this one's worth watching if you just want kind of something to mindlessly zone out with that's mildly amusing at times and is a bit of a throwback. Yeah, so just, you know, good stuff.
And then 1997, we have X-Men 97.
Yes, we'll get there.
Well, you know, no, but we have to wait until we start TV reviews on 2024, and then we can get to the show based in 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I mean, as we were talking through all these things, that's still quite a few things. And really, when we look at the actual Marvel, DC, and some of the offshoot comics that are really coming into prominence, we did kind of have we had one heavy hitter in the Superman animated series. And I feel like a lot of people think Batman animated and Superman animated, people see those as like top tier shows, but honestly, it's not like they lasted forever.
No, their runs were not nearly as long as as everybody thinks about it, but they were definitely top tier shows. Yeah. But, when we come back to 97, I'm starting to get nervous. 97 won't be too bad. Actually, the rest of the 90s shouldn't be too bad. But once we start creeping into the 2000s, this series is going to get difficult. There's going to be so many direct-to-DVDs, direct-to-streaming, all that sort of stuff. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through a year and 2 or 3 episodes sometimes.
Well, you know, DC has, especially lately, been making a lot of animated features that just were released straight to streaming nowadays or to DVD purchase online. But they really started doing this stuff a while ago, maybe not as in the volume that they do now, but
right,
yeah, lots of movies, more shows. More availability once cable started getting its prominence to have some of those shows show up on multiple platforms.
So. Yeah. Now, next week's going to be potentially a very interesting episode. At the moment, we're looking at talking about the final season of Cobra Kai, which I'm guessing, you know, the last time we talked about whether Richard was ready for this, he had not watched in any of the episodes he needed to watch. But it's been like 2 weeks since we made that statement. So I'm guessing that he has still not watched any episodes.
I'm about as prepared for that as we are to do
the penguin.
The penguin. That's correct.
So what that means is if we're lucky, maybe we'll do Cobra Kai next week. But it's actually much more likely that we will do something else. That, you know, leave it as a surprise. You know why it's a surprise? Because I don't know what it's going to be yet.
What'll it be? It's mystery.
Maybe we'll review the new Thunderbolts film.
Will that even be out?
I don't know. Maybe we can track him down to get an early copy.
That'd be great. There'll be one on some internet platform anyway. You know, it'll just be reversed or...
In a different language?
Different language, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of hyped about that one. It's actually coming out in May, so there's no way we're going to be able to go over it yet. But it's coming so soon.
And then Fantastic Four is not that far behind it.
No, we're going to have a couple good films to go over. But until next week, dear listeners, you know how to get a hold of us. We always love to hear your comments and just try and relax, have some fun. Try and not think about politics too much, no matter what side of the aisle that you're on. And just try and try and
eat some extra toasty Cheez-Its.
Yeah, be kind to one another. Try and make that connection. Make the planet a better place.